The following podcast is a part of the Spin Studio Network.
Welcome back to Flourish and Fulfilled. This week's episode is on nutrition and flexible dieting. Now, nutrition and dieting itself is a controversial topic, and there's definitely no one size fits all. And I think that my advice when it comes down to nutrition as a total overall umbrella is never to start something that you cannot sustain, maintain, and continue forever. Otherwise, that is definitely going to be referred to as a fad diet. Now, today I'm going to give you little bites of nuggets, and then I'm going to get into a really deep kind of breakdown of what is flexible dieting, what are macros, how you can achieve the best outcome for your own nutrition, and then some take-home messages as well. So our nutrition controls our body fat, weight training controls our muscle size and shape, and cardio assists with our heart health. So that statement right there is something that you will always hear me bash on and on about because it is so important. So many people try and out-train a bad diet. However, it always comes back to nutrition. Now, nutrition is key in maintaining our total health, our hormones, our skin, our happiness, and of course, our mindset. Nutrition is something that I can definitely talk about forever, and I don't want this podcast to be a boring one. So I thought that what I would do is I would start with my own nutrition journey and how I was raised and my own personal philosophy and what kind of diets I've used in the past to get me to the point that I'm at today. So before we get started, as always, top three, bottom three from the week that was. And I'm just loving the fact that so many people have started doing this with their families. It's really, really beautiful to see. So my top threes this week was, after having so much negativity on Instagram over the last few months, I put it out there to my followers and I asked the following three questions. One, why do you follow me? Two, what have I taught you? And three, what is your most memorable moment of me? And then the responses were so beautiful to be able to see, but also really, heartwarming of why I actually do what I do on Instagram. And there were so many different responses that people did send through, from most memorable moments being my hermit crab story, where I lost Ryder's hermit crab, tried to replace it and then found it and had to explain that it wasn't his hermit crab, to learning how to set boundaries, to being able to inspire so many women. They were just really, really beautiful responses that I wasn't expecting. So that was really nice. Monday last week was a public holiday and Kai, being 14, wanted to have some friends over. And I was like, cool, you can definitely have some friends over. Now, 14 is that cusp of being a teenager, but I didn't really expect like a house party. So I had 16 teenagers at my house, girls and boys, and 16 is a lot when they're 14-year-olds because they're literally like these prepubescent boys that are bigger than me and all these girls. And I literally was trying to manage the fact that I didn't want anybody to have first kisses at my house. I had all these parents' expectations of me of looking after their kids, and I had 16 kids. But it was so good to know that they feel safe enough to be able to come to my house and hang out. So that was definitely a second top for the week. And my third top for the week was simply being at home. It's been such a whirlwind of travel and going to Adelaide to get the boys for school holidays that being at home, it was just a really beautiful week of getting back into routine and enjoying my space and doing grocery shopping and eating home-cooked meals, and really, really, really enjoyed that this week. Now, my bottom for the week was, as again, this podcast has always got too much information and I'm not even going to apologize for it. However, I've had the heaviest period ever, as in like bedridden and in so much pain. I had my procedure done, I think it was about 3 months ago now. And ever since, my periods have just been all over the shop. And this was just not a vibe for me. So I'm actually going back to the doctor to suss that one out. So that was a really big bottom for the week because I've essentially been bleeding the whole week. Fun. Next one is probably that my anxiety has come back after 2 years of not having any anxiety. And that feeling of standing there and shaking and not knowing why you're shaking is just not a good feeling. So I actually had a session with a different NLP practitioner over Zoom who's based in Sydney. And it was really incredible to be able to work through that process and understand that anxiety is always linked to fear. And when you work through what it actually is that you are fearful of, the anxiety goes. So it's probably a bit of a top as well. And that's why we do top three, bottom three, because we're able to analyze those bottoms and find a silver lining, I guess, from them. My third bottom this week, which has just been my biggest pain in the ass, is my business manager on Facebook was disabled in January, and it was disabled for promoting alcohol on my baby recipe book. So clearly it's an error. Like, it's a baby's recipe book. There's no alcohol in it. And during COVID, Facebook cut a lot of their staff and their contacts to be able to chat or reach out to them for help. And that just means my ad account is not working, which is just an absolute nightmare when you're running an online business. So that is my top three and bottom three from the week that was. Now, before I go deep into nutrition, flexible dieting, and help you guys to better understand a little bit about macros and why I do what I do now with my nutrition, I wanted to give you a little bit more background information into my own nutrition journey, as well, I guess, about body image and finding that balance of understanding that food is actually a fuel and how to have that healthy relationship with food. So all the way back to the start, we're going to go through a little bit of a process here as to how I got to this point, because I do think it's important. So growing up, we were raised on a farm, and a lot of that meant that we ate the fresh produce that we grew. Now, my parents have a boat, and we would often go out and catch our fresh fish, and all of the vegetables that we had were grown in the garden. And it was very much a ethically, organically sustainable lifestyle. We very much ate mostly vegetarian, and my mum definitely brought us up in a way that whatever was growing in the garden is what we would eat for dinner. So we had a very, very clean lifestyle. Now, my first competition was in 2012, and that's kind of when my nutrition changed hectically. But growing up, mum taught me how to cook, and in such a unique way, because she never meal planned and she never knew what we were going to have for dinner. And it's something that's so special. I would love to get mum on the podcast one day to be able to chat about this. But when I ask her, she's like, I don't know, I just did it. So she doesn't even know how she does it. But what she would do is she'd go and do the groceries for the week and just get like staple items. And things for her that were staple items were like canned tomatoes or lentils or really basic foods. Then she'd go out to the garden and see what was actually ripe already. And if the boys didn't catch any fish for the day, we would eat mainly vegetarian meals. And if they caught fish, she'd incorporate that into what we were eating for the night. And it was never like pre-planned out how I would do it now, in a way that I'm like, okay, so on Monday I'm having bolognese and I'm going to use the leftover mince on Tuesday's savory rice. She definitely did not do it that way. It was always about fresh is best, and it was always about eating as clean as possible. This is kind of how I based my first ever recipe book and how it was created. So Eat Clean, Live Lean was released in 2012. And I know that I've shared this so much on social media previously, but I had one of those A4 folders, and it was just bits of paper with scribbled down ingredients. And the hardest part about creating that recipe book was that I would cook without a recipe and then have to go back once it was amazing and figure out what I actually used in the recipe and how to recreate it. And when you release a recipe book, you always triple test. So you'll create a recipe, cook it and love it, and then have to triple test it. And each time I'd be like, I just want to cook from scratch. I don't want to have to follow the recipe. And it's quite amazing because all of those recipes were things and dishes that my mum would cook for us in a way growing up in a really organic household. And so many of you loved that as well. So it was really, really beautiful. I would host dinner parties and my friends would come over and they would always know that I'm such a feeder. So they would walk through the door and they were always going to be fed at my house. Now, I honestly believe that when it comes to body image and food, that my own personal body image stems from my mum. She was always a massive advocate growing up of talking about how your body is so strong and agile and your flexibility and your ability to be able to run, jump, swim. She would always talk about the way our bodies would function and she would rarely ever talk about the way we looked or our weight. Now, it's funny because we always have these memories of first moments or distinct memories growing up. And I only remember once in my entire childhood of my mum talking about her weight. Now, I actually remember it so clearly. I reckon I was probably 10 and she jumped on a pair of scales, like a really old pair. And I don't even know where they were from. And she was saying like, oh my goodness, I'm 10 stone. I can't believe I'm 10 stone. And I don't know what happened after that, but it was literally like that was the only thing that I remember. And now it's like looking back, I'm like 10 stone is so light, like you're a babe. But it's so huge in forming those belief systems and the importance of our own weight and reflection of us as individuals. So like even now if my girlfriends start talking about their weight or the way they look, I always reframe it back to them in regards to the way they feel or the way their clothes are fitting, how smart they are, how talented they are, or something about them that isn't about their weight. And depends on who it is. If it's Tessa, I always pull her up on it. If it was somebody that I'm close with but not like besties with, I would probably just do it in a really nice way without them even knowing that I'm doing that. But I think it's a really huge lesson for us mums to always remember that the words that we're telling ourselves, regardless of whether anybody else is around, if our kids hear them, they will be able to remember. And all those little moments and the sentences that we say in front of them form those belief systems. So it's really, really, really big when raising our children to remember that it's not so much about our own weight or our body image. And I am getting around to talking about nutrition, I promise. All right. So when I left home, I got married and I was left to my own devices and I got married very, very young. And I essentially went from one extreme to another. I grew up in a really healthy environment where we always ate clean food and mum would always cook the most delicious food and always organic. And then I went grocery shopping in the world on my own. And of course, that meant I could eat all the chocolate. I could buy all the Yogos and I could eat anything I wanted. And I did. And when I was pregnant with Kai, I gained 32 kilos. I got gestational diabetes. And that was the first moment for me of being like, oh my God, like I actually have to consider what I'm eating right now because it's not just about me. And I think that moment of being pregnant, you realize that the world doesn't revolve around you and you have to really quickly understand that somebody else comes before you. And I think that that was that first moment of everything I eat is going to my baby. So then I really heavily looked into my diet and I actually had to restrict it because of the gestational diabetes. So for the last 2 months of my pregnancy, I was really careful what I consumed and I was able to control that with nutrition and diet. It's kind of when I started looking back into clean food and understanding why mum and my parents raised us the way they did. I believe that it served me at the time and I think it was a really good lesson, but I went from one extreme to the other because the way I was raised was so strict on having that clean, organic produce and diet. So when you are talking about clean foods, to me, clean foods mean no preservatives, no additives, and basically anything that isn't a whole food. So after I had Kai, I definitely lost the weight very quickly from going back to eating clean foods again. But I would always crave those chocolates and those foods that we typically refer to as like bad foods or occasional foods. I hate labeling foods, good foods and bad foods, because very quickly, as soon as you label something as a bad food or you can't have it, you will want it. So this is where I'm going to get into why I'm doing what I'm doing now down the track. So at the time, I was actually modeling a lot and I got down to 45 kilos. And the entire industry that I was in was telling girls that they needed to be skinnier, they needed to eat less, they needed to restrict their foods. And within that first recipe book that I created, Eat Clean, Live Lean, all of those recipes were developed in a way that would swap out ingredients to make them a healthier option. Now, I don't necessarily think that is a bad thing, and I always try and maintain having a micro-dense food over like having chocolates. Same macros, I don't care, because it's all about the micronutrients, which we'll get into in a minute. But I really saw how toxic that whole industry was, because we're telling women to eat under 800 calories and we're restricting everything that they're currently consuming. And when I say that, there's so many diets out there that have no carbs, no fats. And yes, you will lose weight initially, but as soon as you start eating the same foods that you were eating previously, you will put on that weight. And so that's why that first sentence of this podcast that I mentioned is really important here. So when it comes to nutrition, never start something that you can't sustain, maintain, and continue forever. And if you do want to do that and you know it's a fad diet and perhaps you're trying to lose weight for a wedding, understand that you will need to reverse diet out of that. So in 2012, my first competition, I was eating 800 calories. And I look back at that now and I'm just like, what the actual fuck? Like, if only I knew what I knew now, I could have saved my body so much heartache. And this is why when girls are competing now, I just want to protect them and give them this information. And the same advice that I'm giving you on this podcast today is the same advice that I would give my bestest friends. And it's really important to me because I see it happen so often and it happened to me. So my first competition season, I didn't know anything and I was definitely guided by my coach. So I went down to 800 calories. I was eating bassa, which is like a white fish, and green beans. I wasn't allowed to have any salt, seasoning. I wasn't allowed to even have broccoli because it had too many carbs in it. It was disgusting. I can't even fathom that that was what I did, but also that that's still what girls are doing now. So my skin was horrible. I wasn't sleeping. My weight was so, so low. And I guess it's the industry of glorifying that as well. When I hopped off stage, all of those bad foods that we weren't allowed to have was just so, it was like magnetic. I had to have them. I couldn't have not, even if I wanted to. And of course, what goes down must come up. And so the weight just was uncontrollable and I kept gaining weight. And what would happen is I would go back on this restrictive diet, but my body wasn't losing the weight like it did the first time. And actually, in my first season, my coach taught me a really valuable but horrible lesson that not everybody in life is there to support you. And after my first season of competitions, my weight was increasing and increasing and increasing, and I couldn't stop it. I was not eating bad foods anymore. I just couldn't stop the weight from increasing. And what had happened is my metabolism was so wrecked from doing 2 hours a day of cardio and eating 800 calories that I was just blowing out so much. And my coach at the time accidentally screenshotted a photo of me and sent it into our group chat and was like, look how fat Sophie's gotten. And it just broke my heart for so many different reasons. But the person that was supposed to be there to guide me through this was mocking me and laughing at me instead of teaching me and educating me. And I was only 21. and I had no way of being able to understand or know this or even know how bad what I was doing for my body at the time was. But I was absolutely devastated. The following year, when I went to compete again, I wanted to learn everything I possibly could about never going through that same process. And I discovered Lane Norton and If It Fits Your Macros. And initially I was very much like, poo-poo. They're eating chocolate and they're living this horrible, unhealthy lifestyle and they're thinking they're God's gift while doing it. And very quickly understood that what If It Fits Your Macros was about was actually not the same philosophy that was being preached out there. I was really blessed by this stage to have Nathan in my corner, and having a partner that was also your coach, you knew that they cared about your health as well. So it wasn't just about trophies or trying to win gold or pushed me to be the absolute leanest on stage. He really cared about my health at the same time. Just before I fell pregnant with the twins, I really focused on my reverse diet. Now, reverse dieting is simply the term of the process given after a dieting period. So as we diet down, we slowly drop our calories each week or month, depending on how our bodies respond. And then after either a competition, a wedding, or we hit our goal weight, the idea is to slowly then increase our calories back up so that we're eating more food and our metabolisms are adapting to be able to eat more food without gaining any more body fat and be able to live life, right? So that's what reverse diet is like refers to. We literally increase our calories so that we're not storing fat. Being pregnant with the twins was really amazing for me in so many different ways because I was able to reverse diet whilst being pregnant, and it allowed me to be able to gain weight naturally with the twins because I wanted to nourish my babies, but also to be able to get a better understanding of the foods I was eating and how many calories I was consuming without it having that negative impact on my mind. It was really different, I guess, to see how my body responded to the twins' pregnancy versus the boys' pregnancy. And so after the twins, I was in the best possible position. I knew what food I was consuming. I was the healthiest I had ever been, and I knew so much more, and I had so much more knowledge in regards to the foods I was consuming because I had been tracking each individual food as I went. Now, the reason I said tracking like that is because I will get onto that in a little while and how you can track too. So nutrition is a very personal preference, and some people prefer to have a higher carbohydrate diet. Others prefer fat. But at the end of the day, it is always the same basics of calories in versus calories out. So why can some people eat more than others? I spoke previously in regards to metabolism. So our metabolisms are an adaptive organism that we can alter. And so like everything, if we are not eating so much, our bodies actually adapt to that. And we slowly start to become those 800 calories that we are consuming. Perhaps we are doing 2 hours a day of cardio and eating 2,000 calories, our bodies will then adapt to that. And if you then dropped those 2 hours a day of cardio but kept eating that 2,000 calories, your body would put on weight because the calories out has been reduced. So I'm really trying to break this down now. When I learned to flexible diet, it changed my life. And I think that's why it's so important to me to be able to give this information, because I'm not selling you anything in this. Sure, I have the BOD programs and that's definitely what I preach, but everything that I'm going to teach you today is the same information that I would give to my best friends, and I can't even begin to explain how much it changed my life and my body and be able to maintain the body I have today without any sort of restrictive diets. So when you're flexible dieting, it does require you to understand what your current nutrition intake and calories are. And sometimes people get a little bit concerned about calorie intake or tracking their calories or understanding that it's probably a little bit too hard. But I promise you that it's all going to be worth it once you get through those first maybe 2 to 3 weeks of understanding how to track your food and what's in your food and a couple of best practices, and then it will just be life-changing for you. You'll be able to go on holidays and actually lose weight because you can't eat enough food when you're on holidays. It's just so good. I can't even begin to explain that. Now that I've brought you up to a bit more speed in regards to my own nutrition journey and why I went to flexible dieting and how I got there, and the fact that when I put it out there that I'm eating 3,000 calories, people are like, oh, I'll never be able to get there. But I wasn't always eating 3,000 calories. I was eating 800 calories of bassa fish and green beans and doing 2 hours a day of cardio to now 3,000 calories and no cardio. So it's a huge difference in circumstances of where I was versus where I am. So it's definitely not that I'm genetically blessed. It's not that I haven't been able to work hard to get there. It took a lot of time to be able to reverse diet to the point that I'm at now. And it didn't happen overnight. And I don't want people to look at me and think that it happened overnight. This has been a massive process. The other thing to remember here is I've been weight training since 2012. So my body holds on to a lot of muscle mass. And when we have a higher ratio of muscle mass, we have less body fat. And that's a really important thing to note here, because if you're only just getting started in weight training or your health and nutrition journey, you cannot compare yourself. We can't anyway compare yourself to anybody else, but especially not somebody that's been weight training for 10 years. Huge, huge difference. So I really don't want anybody to ever look at my page or watch my body and think it's going to take you 3 months to get to that point, because it's not. You will definitely see an increase in your muscle mass and your results and your health in 3 months, but you will not be able to get to where somebody else is in 10 years. No. Okay. So what I'm going to teach you here is a little bit more about macros themselves and how you can get started and a few other different points. So grab some pens, paper, whatever you need for this section, or you can either write it down in your notes, whatever you want to do. Before you start, you need to keep a food diary. Now, a food diary is so important because learning what is in your food or what makes up your food is really critical to moving forward and the diets that you're kind of trying to be able to live by. When we do a food diary, ideally it's 7 days, and I always find that it's so funny because people automatically assume that I'm just talking as if I'm coaching them, but I would judge them. And they come in with 7 days of food and it's like oats for breakfast and a salad sandwich, and they didn't eat anything else for the day, and then they had a chicken stir fry and then they went to bed. And I was like, no, that didn't happen. I know that didn't happen, because you've come to me and you're trying to lose 20 kilos and you don't put on 20 kilos with a diet like that. So there's a few things here to remember. You need to be really honest with yourself, but not only because of the reasons of being honest with yourself, but it actually is beneficial. If you're honest with yourself and you write down all the foods you're consuming, it's more beneficial because you'll be able to eat more food long term, and we'll be able to see the breakdown of carbohydrates versus fat to be able to put you on the right path of the foods you actually enjoy eating. So when it comes to your ratio splits of carbohydrates versus fat, it's so individual. I have friends that just love having a high fat diet, and that could be things like peanut butter, chocolate, coconut oil, avocado, eggs. All of those foods make up a higher fat diet. Myself, I'm actually a higher carb diet. I love bread, I love bananas, I love fruit, I love those really carb-dense foods, and I could definitely reduce my fats. I actually have my fats a little bit higher for skin reasons, but yeah, it's really interesting when you do track your diet, and are able to see what you're actually eating. So when you are tracking your diet, always track your food raw. Now, the reason that we do this is there's certain foods like, say, sweet potato. And if you were to boil sweet potato versus roast it, the end goal and the end weight is always going to be different. So we're needing to make sure that it is a raw weight. The term track or tracking is simply just noting down the foods that you're eating. Now, as I said before, I'm not trying to gain anything in this. We do this in the BOD app. However, there's a free option on MyFitnessPal as well. And if you are using the MyFitnessPal option, so everything that's in the BOD app is approved. So the nutrition and the nutritional data is 100% accurate. But if you are using a free app like MyFitnessPal, you will need to take note of which ingredients you're adding in. So USDA is one. And making sure that all of them are approved ingredients. Otherwise, it can really throw out the day that you're actually tracking in. Initially, for the first 2 to 3 weeks of tracking, you will find that it's taking you 20 to 30 minutes. And I find that when people are learning to work out what their foods are, they usually end up getting caught in the, this is taking too long, it's too much information and I don't understand it. But once you get over that initial slump of, oh my goodness, I don't know how to do this, it will honestly take 5 to 10 minutes max a day. So once you've worked out your 7-day food diary and you can literally just click into the tab of it and see your total intake each day, as well as learn whether you like higher carbohydrates or higher fats, it's really interesting to kind of analyze what your nutrition looks like. And again, be really honest with yourself. The thing that I find with most women is their protein intake is really low. And their fats are really high. Now, it's really good to be able to analyze these food diaries, and it's probably my favorite part of being able to do a meal plan for somebody or get them onto flexible dieting, because it's where the magic kind of happens of seeing someone's total calories of what they're eating currently and swapping it and making a few changes. And those first 3 weeks of them making those changes, seeing all of those dramatic results happen really quickly and then be like, what the hell? I'm not starving. I'm eating so much food and I don't know how. And watching their mind just be blown. It's really, really, really cool. When you do work out how much you're currently consuming, it may surprise you in so many different areas. But make sure that when you do work out the foods you're eating, you put everything in there, from every bit of sauce that you had, from the bites of cookies that you ate, to any drinks that you consumed. It'll be a guide to be able to work out what you're currently consuming and how you can go forward from there. Now, within this style of diet or nutritional preference of flexible dieting, there's so many other preferences underneath that still work in your favor if that's something that you want to do. So you can still be a vegan or gluten-free or dairy-free. Every single diet plan has to first come from a total calorie expenditure out. And then we break it down into protein, carbohydrates, and fat. So probably 10 years ago, when you came and got a meal plan, this is the process that we would automatically go through. And meal plans are really, really popular because you would be told what to eat, when to eat it, and it would work. And this is essentially the exact same process, but you have the flexibility to eat any of the foods that you wish and whatever you want, as long as it fits into your macronutrients that is determined by you. Now, to work out what these are for you and your individual body, I can give you a calculation, but I'm not going to do that to you on here. You literally just have to go to the BOD and it's a free calculator. I'm definitely not selling you anything here. You don't have to do anything to get your results. It's a completely free calculator. The reason we did that is because so many girls were messaging me to work out their macros. And I was like, no, we need a calculator. So it's entirely free. So put it all in. And when you look back over your food diary, if the results from the calculator versus your food diary are hugely different, I want you to play around with the cut level of aggression, so what you're wanting to diet down to make sure that you're not currently eating less calories or there's a huge difference between your current intake versus your new macros. Now, the reason being for that is if you drop your calories down, you certainly will lose weight. But we're not wanting to drop your calories super dramatically or even at all to begin with. The reason being for that is a simple swap of the percentages of more protein less carbs, more protein, less fats, or essentially just shuffling all of that around will see a result anyway. You won't actually need to drop your calories straight off the bat in order to see that result. Now, my next biggest thing is working out and planning out your day in advance once you have got your daily macros or calories. So when you plan it out in advance, you're not running the risk of getting to the end of the day and not having any food to play with and being able to really make sure that you understand the foods that you're eating. Typically, what will happen in the first couple of weeks of learning to flexible diet is that you'll have one macro that is just so over. And usually it's fat, but I don't want to put it out there because it depends on everybody and everybody's unique. And if you are over on fats, you'll need to reduce your carbs. So for every 1 gram of protein, there's 4 calories. For every 1 gram of carbohydrates, there's 4 calories. But for every 1 gram of fat, there is 9 calories. So it's almost over double. It's over double. And so when you're eating, say, fat, you will fill up quicker, but it's also double the amount of calories. So there it's a little bit of a play around, easy cut and paste. With food sources, when you're trying to think of protein sources to be able to fill up your day in advance, there's things like meat, fish, eggs, tofu. There's so many other options as well that has protein in it, which may surprise a lot of you, even in, say, chickpeas or oats. There is still protein in most foods that we're consuming, and it's very rare that you'll have a food that only contains one macronutrient. Things like macadamia nuts are essentially only fats. And then for carbohydrates, you have things like honey or fruits, which are only carbohydrates. But in almost all other foods, we have one of every single of those macronutrients. So it's really eye-opening, I guess, to be able to see the foods you're consuming. The other massive thing that I get here is that women will start tracking their food and go out to breakfast, and they'll sit down and they'll order poached eggs on toast with avocado and halloumi. Beautiful, delicious. I eat that. I love that. However, in most cases, that'll automatically push them up in the fat level of being their total daily intake, which is fine. It just means that if you're trying to lose weight, you will need to look at the rest of your day's food options and be able to bring them down in fats. So it's really eye-opening and, I guess, educational to be able to learn what is in the foods you are consuming. So fats, avocado, coconut, nuts, seeds, oily fish like salmon is a really good source of that. The other question that I get asked often is in regards to alcohol. Now, alcohol has its own macro nutrient or calorie equation, which is 1 gram of alcohol for every 7 calories. But the way that people slip up with this one is that that is just the alcohol, not what you mix it with. So if you have your alcohol consumption on its own, but it is in, say, a wine, you also have to take into consideration the grapes as well. Or if you have a vodka and you're mixing that with a Coke, you have to consider the Coke as well. So alcohol, you can still definitely drink alcohol whilst trying to lose weight. You just need to take it into consideration. And what happens when you drink alcohol? Usually you'll have like 4 drinks and then not give a shit anymore and then go out and eat the kebab as well. So that's usually what ends up happening when you have it. So it's not necessarily the alcohol that's causing you to not lose the weight. It's what happens after you have the alcohol. Now, when it comes to cheat meals and eating out whilst flexible dieting, yes, you definitely can. But the benefit of being able to do flexible dieting is there's no need anymore to have these cheat meals. You're not needing to go out and binge. And it stops that mindset of I can't have the chocolate and then wanting it and eating the whole block. So there's no need anymore to go out and have those cheat meals because you can have them every single day. Now, when it comes to planning out your day in advance and talking about chocolate and alcohol, obviously it's not a good practice to plan out all of your alcohol and chocolate in advance and then not eat anything else. So what we like to do is have the 80%, 20% split. So always calculate first your whole foods first, 80% always coming from those really beautiful, delicious sources, and then 20% those foods that are occasional foods. Now, when we change our mindset of being, we can't have something versus you can have it as often as you want, it's incredible what happens because usually we don't want it. However, having a couple of slices of chocolate in the end of the day or planning for that in advance is incredible. Now, the thing that blows people's minds here with eating cheat meals or eating out is even when I won the national title, I still was having grilled chips, chocolate, ice cream, every single day, all the way up to comp. I think I stopped maybe 3 days before, all the way through. At not one stage did I stop eating burgers, pizza, chocolate, or ice cream. And it was done in the most sustainable way. And that was my prerequisite for ever jumping on stage again. I wanted to be able to show women that you can do it and still eat a balanced life. And if I ever had to go back to eating the Bassa diet, I would never have done that. I think I might do an entire another podcast in regards to like competing and comp diets and that type of thing, because I don't want to get too deep into that today, but it's so interesting and so heartbreaking how many women are out there at the moment living that Bassa lifestyle now in 2021 with all the information we know and all of the science and everything that we actually have backed. It's not just making this up, or it's not just that it worked on me, it's actually scientifically backed. So I will do that at another stage if that's appealing to anybody else. So when you are planning your week in advance or cooking for a family, there's a few things that flexible dieting will change with you on. Cooking for a family while flexible dieting is amazing. It allowed me to be able to eat the same foods as my family and my kids. And it took away that feeling of I'm dieting or I'm prepping for a competition to I'm eating a healthy, balanced lifestyle with my children in the right portion size for me and my body. Really, really eye-opening, I think, when you have families and the mum's restricting herself and only having Bassa or dad's having something different and all of the kids want something different, was really important to me that we all ate as a family. Now, when you're cooking a recipe as a batch, you can break it down individually of how to work out your macros as a batch recipe. And I think I have an IGTV or step-by-step process on my Instagram. I'll put it into the show notes or we'll like repost it at some point in regards to exactly how to work out the macros of a recipe, because it is a bit more in depth. And that's something that's really, really, really cool to be able to do as well. The other question that I get asked is in regards to macro splits and ratios, like how often are you supposed to change them? So ideally, best case scenario is you work out your macros and you have them and they're working for you. Now, the reason you know they're working for you is you're losing weight, you're sleeping well, you have really high energy, and you don't need to change those macros at all because everything that's happening is supposed to be happening. If after, say, 6 weeks, either the weight stalls and you're no longer losing weight, or perhaps you're continuously losing weight after 6 weeks, these are two variations here that you would still need to change your macros. So option one is that you are still losing weight after 6 weeks. Regularly, every single week, you're losing that weight. We would then look at actually increasing the macros that you're on. Now, protein never changes unless you are I've got to be very careful with my words here. Unless you are a person using substances that would increase your muscle mass in a hugely dramatic way, and you've gained a lot of muscle, in a really short period of time, you would not need to change your protein intake. Now, my protein intake has not changed in 7 years. So you do not need to change your protein all the time. So the only other macros that you would be looking at changing is your carbohydrates or your fats. And then you would increase those, which again is in turn called a reverse diet, by 2 grams. So tiny little increments regularly every 6 weeks or until your body stops moving with fluctuating weight and be able to stay in there. So once you have stayed there with those increment increases, then you can gain again. So that's when it's looking at being able to change those macros. So don't keep changing all the time. Your body and your metabolism actually has to stay consistent to be able to adjust to the food that you are now currently eating. So don't adjust all the time. When it comes to rest days, some people like to cycle or carb cycle or reduce their carbohydrates or total daily intake on those rest days. The only benefit of that is that on the days you're training, you can actually increase your macro intake and your calorie intake from the average of the week. Personally, I don't change it because I like to eat the same things most days. However, if that is of importance to you, then you definitely can. Can you flexible diet when you are pregnant? Yes, you can. So flexible dieting is not about restricting your food intake. It's actually about educating you to know what is in the foods you're currently eating. So pregnancy is the perfect time to actually educate yourself on the foods you're consuming. And it's really important when we are pregnant or breastfeeding to increase our fats and be able to eat enough food to be able to sustain the babies or baby. I had twins. When it comes to breastfeeding, a lot of people think we have to eat a lot more, but it's usually only about 200 to 300 calories extra, depending on your current calorie intake as well. So yes, you can definitely flexible diet when you are pregnant and breastfeeding, and it's really, really, really beneficial too. Reverse dieting is something that I have touched on a little bit here. And I know that I do have some IGTVs in depth on that as well. And it's probably going to have to take a whole nother podcast because it's just too in depth of being able to reverse diet. But I know that so many of you would have heard me mention reverse dieting over and over again. Eating 3,000 calories now versus 800 calories didn't happen overnight. And as I mentioned, it's just a 2 gram increase over like a 6 week period. So it's definitely something that is a slow process to be able to build up and reverse diet to. And I don't want people to think that they literally will be able to get to 3,000 calories overnight. So the take home messages of everything today is essentially flexible dieting has changed my life. I never thought I would be able to eat the foods that I'm currently eating and consuming and still have abs all year round. I am now at a point where I'm able to intuitively eat most days because I know what is in the breakdown of all of my foods. I can go out for dinner and not stress about the fact that I have a photo shoot next week. I feel very confident in the way my body and ability is in my strength. I really want to drum home here that nutrition is such an individual thing. And if you cannot commit to anything, whether that be a keto diet or Weight Watchers or whatever it is, and you know that you're only going to be doing it for a short period of time, it is not a sustainable lifestyle change. So make sure that before you do embark on anything, that it is right for you, and this may not be right for you. It just honestly changed my entire life. Committing to be able to track or flexible dieting is such a short period of time, but it'll set you up for life once you commit to building up those macros and calorie intake and being able to boost your metabolism a little bit to be able to understand the foods that you're eating. Never cut out an entire macronutrient group. That is my only, like, please, please don't do it. It's so hard to come back from because you slowly have to start reintroducing, say, fats again into your diet. And as soon as you start doing that, it boosts your calories back up. So it's really, really, really important never to cut out an entire macronutrient group. Always know what's in the foods that you're consuming. It's really important. And I love the fact that my boys know what macros are in bananas and what goes into yogurt, or it's really valuable. And I think that nutrition is such a huge part of our life and something that we often forget. And I think that in Australian schools, we're so heavily trying to teach English and maths and science and everything else, but nutrition should be right up there because it's something we all need to know and understand. And it's really important to me. So I hope that today you've been able to take a few take-home messages away. And I always post about nutrition stuff or swaps or a lot of nutrition on my Instagram and the closed Facebook groups as well. So as always, if there's any questions or anything that you want to know, please just ask those in those groups. And if there's any specifics in regards to nutrition as well, please let me know. This week's book I am reading, I actually have two here, but I wanted to, I want to give two. Is that all right? I'm giving two. So the first book that I am reading this week is The Awakened Woman, and I actually got it from Kiki K. It is a really beautiful like gift box set, and I just love it. And it's about reclaiming like your voice and sensuality and womanhood. And I wanted something this week that's a bit more fluffy. I've been reading some pretty heavy books lately, and that was a definite, I just loved it. It was so powerful, and I just rang my girlfriends and wanted to cry to them because I'm so thankful for the girlfriends that I have in my life. And the second book that I am reading this week, I've posted about a few times previously, but it's called Gaslighting. It's got so many different scenarios in there, not only in relationships, but also within like workplaces and friendships as well. But it outlines things like the types of abuse that you could potentially be opened up to. And there's so many surprising things that I was like, oh, like I didn't even consider that, but needing permission to get money or like refusing to share financial information, or this obvious, like I shouldn't say obvious because there's a lot of people that don't know that this is obvious, but like pushing and slapping and punching and stuff like that. But there's a lot of other things in there that it mentions. But yeah, really beautiful book to be able to give, especially to the younger ones. I'm definitely making sure that my children will read this one. Things like protecting yourself from social media manipulation. And there's a lot of really valuable information in that one too. If you guys want to get involved in my podcast and ring in and leave a question for me, the caller hotline is 07 56 49 6851, and I will chat to you guys more on the closed Facebook group, which is of course Flourish and Fulfilled.